world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Everybody, welcome to In Soccer We Trust. It is just myself and Jimmy, Trash Can, Cream Cheese, Conradinho, Conrad right now. Charlie Davies is going to be joining us here very soon. But we're going to get straight into it with Jimmy because he's on location. He's close to all the energy. But for those of you who maybe don't know, which would be crazy to be watching this show right now, but maybe the algorithms fed you, the U.S. are on to the knockout rounds after a 1-0 win over Iran. A courageous performance. Jimmy, how are you feeling? You're dressed up in what looks like your onesie. American flag onesie, is that correct?
Yes, that means first and foremost that I'm extremely comfortable, and second, it means that I'm having the time of my life here, Heath. The fact that we made the knockout rounds, the fact that we didn't lose any games, the fact that we had two consecutive clean sheets in the World Cup for the first time in U.S. soccer history, I'm just proud of the guys. I put a tweet out that I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy inside, and that has not subsided since the final whistle blew. And how are you feeling, Heath? I mean, you look fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. You know, somebody had commented to you on the, like, we almost crapped it away in the second half, and I was like, what did you think was going to be different, right? For both teams needing to get a certain result to go on to the knockout rounds, what could you possibly think was going to be different, that the U.S. would control it? I mean, I've got a lot of thoughts on certain performances that I think need to be improved and could be better, but overall, that fight that this team had on a day that I don't think we had a ton of eights and nines, right? I thought there was a few performances that I thought were borderline subpar for the standard that we needed to get the result. But here we are now with a 1-0 win off of heroics. Christian Pulisic, by the way, is a player that I spent 40 minutes thinking about going, man, this guy just really doesn't have it right now in the national team. Like, he kind of was having trouble finding it, trying to do too much again, trying to find the rhythm up the right side. We had so many good attacks. And he couldn't find it. And then I was quickly reminded around the 40th minute of just, he's a hero. And he's got that. Yeah. He's a game changer. He's got that in him that he can have that bad day, but he can deliver for us. And he did just that for the U.S. national team going out at half, obviously. But Jimmy, what's your overall take of this performance, both collectively as a team? And then I want to get into some of these performances of individuals in the squad.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think overall it was solid. I thought that the first half, very similar to the other first halves that we had against all of our opponents, we were in control. And that is really promising. That does pump me up about what this team is capable of. And even when we don't have our best performance, I think this is one of the things that I do admire about the Englands and, I don't know, the Spains and even the Netherlands that we're going to play in the next rounds. They haven't necessarily played well either, but they still know how to grind out and get results and finish in the top of their group and you get into the knockout rounds. And I think we're starting to get into that and demonstrate that we're a team that can run with anybody. It's not always going to be pretty, and we might not always make the best lineup selections. And I actually want to talk to you about Cameron Carter-Vickers coming in for Walker and Josh Sargent coming back into the team. Yeah. We can get into that. I'm sure everybody wants to. But, yeah, I just thought it was a good, solid performance for 60 minutes. And then when we could sense that it was getting closer to crunch time, and obviously we made some changes that reflected that when we brought Walker in, who I thought was immense, right? Obviously backing up the ball that went through Matt Turner's legs and just winning a lot of headers. Yeah. My only fear is that when you start to get defensive, then the whole team starts to play defensive, and that's what we just invited a lot of more pressure than maybe we needed to, but that's part of our maturity and our maturation and our evolution. And, you know, I'm just buzzing. We didn't lose any games, Heath, and I think that says something about this group and about our resilience, and we still got a result that we needed. And to speak about your point with Christian, I love that whole sequence. I mean, Tyler Adams plays it back to Weston McKennie, who actually lets it roll across his body and hit it first time to a well-timed run to Serginho Dest, who then heads it back across. Christian recognizes how everything's going down and just is brave enough and determined enough to get into a space to make sure that we get that goal. And obviously, apparently he's at the hospital now getting checked up on some abdominal issues. Hopefully he's okay. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be proud of. And sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to fight for it and you have to earn it. Or more often than not, that's what you have to do to get anything positive in your life or on the field or whatever it is. And I think that this is a team that has shown me some things that we saw. We talked about it before in the Nations League. We talked about it before in the Gold Cup. And we thought, okay, can they show this in a World Cup? Those are their own competitions, but the World Cup's something different. And I think we've demonstrated that. And there's a lot to be proud of. We can definitely sit here and nitpick, and we probably will, because we want to be balanced in our stuff. Yeah. But I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled for the guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited that we have another game, and these guys have earned that.
One of the hardest times that for me as an expert or an analyst deals with is when you know you've been in this situation before, right? And you felt that, and you know how hard it is to get out of these games with all 3 points that get you into the knockout rounds, or get out of a qualifying game with a result, knowing how difficult it is, because you leave knowing with that sort of sour taste in your mouth, your stomach's turning a little bit, going like, I probably didn't play very well. I probably didn't play my best. I could have done better. And we're bringing on Charlie right now. Charlie, I'm going to finish this thought and we'll get to you. But that's the hard part, right? Is you know what it's like to go through that. And sometimes you just need to be able to get that result. On the flip side, you want to be critical of certain moments that I think that the U.S. throughout the match, I thought could have been better, to understand the time and the place to put their foot on the ball, to keep the ball, to actually take chances. And I feel like some of that rhythm is still off in our team. But looking back at this, we were on the verge of saying, oh man, this team just went after it and they made all these mistakes and they had chances we didn't convert. And look at that. We're going to leave here with 3 points on the tournament, to now getting that one big chance. Christian Pulisic, who I thought was bang average up to that point, delivers the hero moment that we expect of him and reminds me again of the type of player that he is, as opposed to the one that needs to take over games for 90 minutes and what his role in this national team could be when you see the quality that we have around him. But Charlie, just come to you real quick. I mean, we're just sort of getting into the game a little bit. What's your overall take from the team? We're going to talk about individual performances, some of the decisions Greg Berhalter made, as well as sort of how the match played out. But I guess holistically, what's your take on this match?
If I see one negative comment, considering we are advancing out of the group unbeaten, have not given up a goal through the run of play, only a
penalty. I'll tell you what, the Berhalter haters, they got to live with it now, because we talked about that being the goal. He gets the pass. You get to the knockout rounds. Doesn't matter how.
Well, extend that contract.
It's not even a matter of how, because it's not ugly. We've played well this tournament. So I don't want to hear Greg Berhalter this or Greg Berhalter that. At the end of the day, these guys performed. It was the right group. And from today, there are two players that I really want to single out. Well, one, we all know, Tyler Adams, absolute beast, player of the tournament for the U.S. Every game brings it, sets the tone on and off the pitch. Incredible captain. But Josh Sargent was a beast today. Josh Sargent, hold up play, his involvement, the runs, both sides of the ball, defending, checking back. Just Josh Sargent brought his A game today. And I don't know if I would have picked him to play today, but after today, he's the nine. He's the nine. Didn't get a great opportunity to score, but in terms of his involvement and what he brought to the table and his unselfishness in that final third, got to play.
Jimmy, do you agree with that in terms of his role? Because in the big moments, right, and I'm going to get into Haji Wright and his lack of what I thought were big moments or what he needed to do in the big moments. But when Josh Sargent, ball scrapping, 50-50 balls, in my mind, I'm like, oh, here comes another turnover. Here comes another turnover, because he's in a tough position. And he got out of most of those and made the right decision. Do you agree with Charlie's assessment of Josh Sargent's role? I mean, I don't want to get it twisted. He didn't have this glorious game where he's like, you know, the way that we want a striker to be. But no, he did exactly what we needed him to do.
But yeah, I agree. I think effective is the right word that Charlie's using. His hold of play, I thought, was very good today. Maybe the best we've seen from him in quite some time. His ability to I guess on both sides, the way he's pressing, the way that first line of defense and making it more predictable for everybody behind him, I thought was very good. His willingness to make thankless runs into the channels. I mean, I loved every part of it. I guess when you say Haji Wright, the thing I think about was the thing at the end where it was like a 3v2 and he hits the most tame cross into the goalkeeper to allow them to keep it alive instead of just taking it into the corner and killing the game off. So that's a big mark for me against Haji Wright, because there should have been some more recognition.
But that was one of five things with Haji Wright at the end of the game where he just looked clueless.
Yeah.
He looked a step off. He looked a step slow. Whether it's holding the ball to draw a foul, whether it's making the right decisions on the ball, whether it's the right type of movement, he just looked off. And it was just a very bizarre thing to me to see it, because all you've got at that point is energy, right? Just find a way to be effective. And when you get that moment to say, I'm going to put my foot on the ball, I'm going to draw a foul, I'm going to take it to the corner flag, I'm going to be busy, I'm going to scrap and fight. He just sort of looked like he was out there trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he went robot on us.
You gone robot on us and froze a little bit on your screen, so we might be losing you. Charlie, I'll come to you until Jimmy comes back. But what was your take on the flip side, where we're obviously giving Sargent the start for the next game for his performance because of what he did, and not necessarily, I know people still want more. We all want more from our striker. But the reality is we came into this game saying, we don't have a striker. We don't have a nine that has proven anything to us that makes us believe that this person needs to play every game. He did enough to show that with the quality of the players around him, he can play a role. And that role was really good today. So flipping that over to Haji Wright, What was your take on just his limited minutes? Because I was pretty disappointed, if I'm honest.
Yeah, disappointing. I mean, it's let's also go into, it's a tough role to come into where you're just fighting to keep the ball. You're trying to earn fouls. You're trying to hold the ball up in the corners and waste time. It's not a glamorous role, but that's what you have to do. He didn't really show enough for me. So and same thing. If you're looking at the substitution, Shaq Moore has not done a single thing to say, man, we need to lock down the defense. We need a right back to come in.
He looks scared. He looks a little nervous. He's making bad decisions in these crunch moments, which I understand. That's fouls, tough, man.
Just not it. There's no confidence from him when he comes into the game. So Haji Wright and Shaq Moore. And Shaq Moore has come in and both instances hasn't given really a positive since he's been on the pitch. But Sargent has done what is needed in the game, right? And that's what you look for as a nine. If you're not getting opportunities, how do you affect the game? He made runs into the channel. He checked for the ball. He won the ball back in transition. He won the ball back and when they had possession, winning the ball back for the team. He was good in the air.
He laid the ball off simply when the game was underneath him. He laid it off and went back up top, which is just things that we take for granted sometimes. But this national team has struggled to have that many sequences in a game with their nine that are positive.
Yes. And Jimmy, I know you were saying something. So
No. I don't remember what I was saying before, and apologies for dropping off.
Well, Jimmy, let's talk about Cameron Carter-Vickers then. What was your take on him getting the start there? Because I've got some thoughts on it, but I want to hear yours first.
Yeah,
on just
it's going as
a difference. Obviously, it looks really good bringing Walker Zimmerman on at the end to be able to be a big body in a back five. But what was your overall take in his performance as well as the decision that Greg Berhalter made?
Yeah, I think that. I was a little surprised. We've seen evidence before in previous World Cups, and you can see it in the club.
We may have lost Jimmy again.
They blocked. Blocked his Wi-Fi.
I think they blocked him again. But I'll give you my take, Charlie, while we're waiting for Jimmy. And is that with regard to this? And obviously, we'll throw up a few graphics at certain points throughout the show for those of you that are watching this live. But Cameron Carter-Vickers to me looked reactive the entire game and not proactive. And that makes me really nervous. It's the same thing that I saw on Mark McKenzie at times.
Reactive and not proactive.
Yes.
I don't agree with that at all.
You don't agree with that?
No. I think he took good angles. He's not the fastest player, so he has to read the game. I thought he anticipated well. The first play is the 12th minute exactly. Just at the turn of the 12th minute, 13th minute, Cameron Carter-Vickers wins a challenge on a ball to Taremi. And Taremi was checking for the ball. And if you don't win this challenge, he turns and he goes and he's gone.
Yeah.
He was positive today for me.
I see, that's where I'm not. I wasn't as hot on him. Just in terms of his positioning at times, where to be, when to go, when to stay. I as a defender, I'm watching him more proactively.
You got to watch throughout the match. Again. You got to watch
it. Yeah, I'll watch it over again. But it was more in like crunch times. There was times that I think that he was reactive and playing almost, again, this is the same thing that I think Eric Palmer Brown suffers from. This is what I think Mark McKenzie suffers from in the national team. A little bit of that hesitance of that I don't want to say lack of belief, but that lack of just trusting themselves at all times to go and make that play for the fear that it might be that fatal error, right? Of just deciding to go, but seeing just that little bit of time pass to where now he's arriving late and there's this gap, or how he's when he's pinching in and out. Overall, though, this team performance to go out against this Iran team who only needed a draw, mm-hmm. for a team that had never been in this position before, with all these young players on Yunus Musa's 20th birthday, was incredible. Now, I thought Yunus Musa got kind of knackered there by the end, but an incredible performance from him. And if there was anything that I was going to take away in terms of being critical, was again, right when you were coming on, I was talking about being a little bit better at understanding the moments of the game and the flow of the game, right? When does Timo Weah put his foot on the ball? Now, I'm never going to discredit him for his energy. I'm never going to discredit Anthony Robinson for his energy. But there were times where you just go, is it better to just put your foot on and keep it? Is it better to do something else with the ball than maybe turn it over? Those types of little decisions, knowing that, hey, we've been defending for long periods, or now we've opened up the game, we're a little bit exposed. What are those moments and how can we be a little bit better in them? That's really looking under a microscope. But overall, I thought the performance was phenomenal. Jimmy, good to see you again.
Yeah.
We were just talking about...
Before you even go, so Jim... He thinks Cameron Carter-Vickers was reactive and not proactive today and didn't rate his performance, where I said, you got to watch that tape over, because the thing that stood out to me is when Cameron Carter-Vickers was in possession, you weren't worried. When Walker Zimmerman's in possession, you're on your toes. You're like, oh, God, don't make that right wrong pass. I think for me, Cameron Carter-Vickers was solid throughout the whole game. He anticipated plays. He lacks speed. But you wouldn't have known that just because he was cutting off, he's taking the right angles. And I thought every challenge he made, it was solid. There was not a big glaring mistake other than at the end when he pulls Taremi. But he also did it in a clever way where he put him off enough to make contact, but not enough to give a foul away.
Yeah. I'll just say he did.
I can't believe we're losing Jimmy again right now. We've lost him again. There's people in there saying put Heath on the spot. It's a terrible take. I'll stand by that. Go back and watch him for 90 minutes. His positioning at times was off. When I say reactive, I'm not talking about every single play. Obviously, he did a great job. On the ball, he did a great job. There was a lot of things about his game that were really good. But there was a lot of things throughout the game that made me really nervous when they're coming down the left side of the field. And he was the one having to go and make that play. What's that?
I said more nervous than Walker.
No, I mean, not more nervous than Walker. I'm just talking about the fact that we decided to go with a guy in the third game and put him into this pressure environment. I think he did fine. But there are situations that made me very nervous that he was in terms of there was a moment where there was an offside call where he was running inside and the guy spun out his other shoulder. He had his back turned the wrong way. There's things like that that I go, man, he doesn't have the speed to make up for those types of mistakes. So he does need to be nearly 99.9% perfect every game in the way that he plays. I thought that he was close to that today, and he never made a big mistake. But there were still times that I was watching him, watching his movements, the little details that made me a little bit nervous at times when I think about the next opponent where the margin of error gets a little bit smaller and you can be punished for it. But are you going to go with Cameron Carter-Vickers in the next game?
Yes, because you look at Holland and the Netherlands, how they play, and Cody Gakpo is – incredible a player right now, playing insane, gonna get sold for a lot of money. But Gakpo is not a player who's just gonna be running in behind, not a player who's just playing in the air. The Holland team, the Dutch team, keep the ball on the ground. Knowing that, I want a center back who's comfortable with the ball on the ground. And that is Cameron Carter-Vickers, and exactly why Greg Berhalter played Cameron Carter-Vickers over Walker Zimmerman, because he wants his center backs close on the balls. Closer to the game with being able to play out of the back, playing with the ball at his feet. That is what he is. He's comfortable. I was never nervous with him on the ball. With in regards to the Netherlands, they haven't given me any convincing performance, and I'm like, oh my God, we can't compete with them. Our center backs, our midfield's better than their midfield. Even though Frankie De Jong's a baller, our midfield is better than their midfield. Ecuador pounded them. Senegal, if they had Sadio Mane, they beat the Netherlands. They just did. Okay. They got better as the group stage went on because they were still adjusting to not having Sadio Mane. And it took them a little while, but Sar obviously stepped up and now he's their guy. But ultimately, if they had Sadio Mane, they beat the Netherlands. Ecuador, should have beat the Netherlands. Yeah. They just didn't have a great finisher. So if I'm looking at this game, I'm saying we have everything to knock them off. They're the favorites. We're playing with house money right now. They're coming in, the Netherlands. They just beat Qatar, who they're not a great opponent, let's be real. The first opponent not to even have a point as a host nation. So I like Cameron Carter-Vickers. You go with this group again. That would be my suggestion.
I will say this, and we were talking about this just before you came on, in terms of Pulisic and his role within this team, right? I was disappointed in again, the actions that he had leading up to his big moment. I was disappointed because he took a lot of touches. He slows down the attack. He's constantly coming inside. He kind of crowds space. He's looking for ways to be impactful, but he's not being as impactful as I'd like him to be. Of course, he delivers in the big moment. He's got that X factor. He's got that incredible world-class ability to deliver for this team. But when I look up at the right side of our team, right, when I think about Weston McKennie going up that right side, when I think about Yunus Musa going up that right side, when I connect that with Timothy Weah, when I connect that with Sergiño Dest, after what I saw in these last couple of games, I put them in the top category, the top tier of this World Cup in terms of owning a side of the field, in terms of possession, in terms of creativity, in terms of a final pass, in terms of just their ability to compete and earn and own a spot in the field. Do you disagree with that? I mean, what I'm seeing from the 20th minute on against England through this match, and yes, Yunus Musa got tired at the end. They were putting in a shift. They were fighting to get into this knockout round. But what I saw from these guys in terms of quality on the ball, confidence, the ability to go forward, the final balls from Sergiño Dest, Yunus Musa's ability to push the ball forward, Weston McKennie's ability to drive the ball forward. Within that space, I'm happy with the sergeant high up the field because those guys can create so much for this team. What's your take on that?
I love what I've seen from Sergiño Dest in this tournament. Defensive responsibility was always in question. It's not anymore. Wales, not too much of a threat. England stepped up big time.
Yeah.
And then again against Iran, where you have to be sound, just because if you do get exposed, then you're forcing Cameron Carter-Vickers and and Ream to have to kind of put out your fires in the transition in the counterattack game. He was spot on, and he was good in the possession, especially today, creating chances down the right, whipping balls in. The pass with his head to Christian Pulisic to set up the goal, it had to be spot on. On the run, right into the path of Christian Pulisic. Perfect. So from that standpoint, Gio Reyna on the right side, Weston McKennie on the right side against England was phenomenal. I think today they switched it up and had Yunus Musa down the right side and played Weston central. And Weston's delivery, this was the best game I've seen from Weston in terms of passing. Hit the right weight on every pass, essentially, to the right player. His decision making wasn't forcing it into the bad decisions, the bad spots of the field. So, yeah, I'm pumped up.
Yeah,
We're in the next round.
I would say our transition when we did make mistakes was unbelievable. Right, anytime that Iran were trying to counterattack, if they didn't go to goal, which a lot of times they put their foot on the ball for 1 second, we had seven players back. Didn't matter who, we had seven players putting all that stuff to rest. Now, we could go down into the trenches of nitpicking every single type of a moment of the game. But this team put in a fight. They put in a shift. They had a game plan. It was clear. And I'm starting to see what I believe is potential realized in the quality of the squad. When I think about Holland, like you said, when I think about Netherlands, I am not worried. Of course they're the favorites. Of course they've got Cody Gakpo, who's going to go for some massive contract to Man City or Liverpool or Barcelona, wherever he ends up. But we've got some quality players too. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're outmatched by any means. Is it going to be a dogfight? Absolutely. But can we dogfight? We've proven that. We proved that against England. We proved that at times against Wales. We proved that against Iran. And now we're in the second part of that, where we're starting to see that quality come to life, right? And when Sergiño Dest comes up, having a good final ball, that's the things that are going to keep us from getting transitioned or countered on, is being able to know that if Sergiño Dest is going to take risks going forward, he's got to be unbelievable going forward. And he is doing that right now. So for me, I'm super excited about this team, super excited about it all coming together. Charlie, before we take a quick break and talk about some of the changes that we think might need to be made, whether that's tactical or personnel, heading into this game against the Netherlands, Is there any final takes that you wanted from this match in terms of individual performers? Ones that you wanted to see perhaps do a little bit better? You know, maybe a system or a style that you wanted to see a little bit differently? I mean, give me something else before we head to our first and only break of the show.
There is not a negative, one negative for me on this team, the starting team. And, you know, I commend Greg for putting in Cameron Carter-Vickers for this game because you needed a center back who was comfortable with the ball at his feet. That's a massive change that I don't think anyone saw coming. And Tyler Adams is, again, I knew he was going to be the most important part of this team going into the tournament, but his performances have far exceeded anything that I saw, just consistency. So for me, he's got to be up there for, you know, a bit. He's ready for a big move after this season or the next, just because he's that guy right now. Yunus Musa was a little quiet today. He had some good moments, but ultimately the game against Wales and today, not enough, I'd say. Weston McKennie took a huge step up. Hopefully he's recovered for the game against the Netherlands. But I just hope Josh Sargent's okay, because if he's not able to play, Haji Wright's not the guy to start against the Netherlands. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jesus Ferreira come into the team, even though he hasn't played a single minute. Because you need someone who's good at the ball with their feet and can also make runs in behind, and hold up play is going to be crucial. I mean, Van Dijk, we're talking about Virgil Van Dijk up against you. So there's a lot of question marks with that position if Josh Sargent is not able to play.
Well, we're going to talk about personnel after this. Obviously, we want to get into Brenn Aaronson, Gio Reyna, some of the players that haven't featured as much. Are we going about this the right way? And again, if I'm spending all my time talking about how Anthony Robinson or Timothy Weah can just be a little bit sharper at times of knowing when to put their foot on the ball, when to keep the ball, when to have a change of speed or a change of direction, I think we're in a really great position. So listen, everybody, we're going to take our first and only break of the show. When we come back, Charlie and I are going to keep breaking this down for you, so don't go anywhere.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome back, everybody. If you were just watching that in visual form on the live YouTube show, you saw there was some Christian Pulisic in there. If you want Christian Pulisic's jersey, go on over to soccer.com. Join the Gold Club loyalty program, where $5 membership could get somebody up to 10% off every order for life. So go over to soccer.com and get your Pulisic jersey, especially after those heroics that he had. Come on now, support the guy. He's getting plenty of support, but he's doing well. Charlie, now let's talk about, you know, we're going to, again, for everybody's reference, we're excited because we get to keep on bringing these previews to you guys because the U.S. is moving on round of 16 against Holland, who I actually like that matchup. Somebody was asking me yesterday, who do you want to play? Actually, it was Lucho Garcia was asking me, and I was focused on, I think Ecuador would be our best matchup coming out of that group. Well, Ecuador is out now, right? And so our options are Senegal and Holland. And between those two teams, I like the way we match up against Holland. So, Charlie, looking at that game, and again, we're going to do a full preview for you guys coming up, both live and you can get it on demand wherever you get your podcasts from. Are there any changes you're looking at? And maybe it's a little bit too early to break down kind of how we match up and line up with them. But are you rolling out the same starting team based on the way that they played in this match, considering all things considered that the team is fit and healthy?
Well, I really hope that Christian Pulisic is okay. And then Josh Sargent. Josh Sargent was massive today. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely massive in every phase of the game. He didn't, you know, ultimately get a golden chance and you expect him to finish. But outside of goal scoring, he impacted the game in every way. I am so pleased and proud of how he's bounced back, because it felt like he was in the zone tonight. There was not an ounce of. And I love the play where he came inside in the 2v1 towards the end of the first half and played Timothy Weah, who made a smart run to overlap him at the last second at the top of the box, and his touch let him down. Timothy Weah didn't get it out in front of him, but Sargent was fantastic. Yeah. If I had to add somebody, and I see a lot of people, you know, where's Gio Reyna? You know, a lot of people on the YouTube comment sections, where's Gio Reyna? Gio Reyna, you can't go from not playing at all to starting. It's just not going to happen.
And he's still not there yet, guys. He's still not there. Even Eric Winalda came back out.
He's not there yet.
Even Eric Winalda came out and apologized for the comments that he was making, saying that it was between two dads talking, and that, you know, obviously he took it all out of context and wanted to apologize.
He said everything he meant.
Yeah.
Eric Winalda got called out, and normally he's like, oh, I'm going to stick to my word. He curled back into his little cave after regretting what he said, because he throws everything out and hopes it sticks, and he got caught. So it's one of those things where don't even bring him up, because he's just throwing stuff and doesn't make sense and is just looking for clicks.
Yeah.
Gio Reyna's not fully fit. That is why he's not playing. Gio Reyna is so talented, supremely talented. We know how good he is, but he's not fully fit. That's why he's not playing.
That's in reference, by the way, to the switches comment about Carter Vickers went from not playing to starting, though. That is different. You're talking about a guy with some sort of reoccurring injuries over the last 18 months. He's in, he's out. And obviously they're talking about something going on with him right now. We're not talking about Cameron Carter-Vickers. We're not talking about not playing and then playing. I mean, look at half the players in this tournament are coming from clubs where they're not playing consistently and they go straight into starting in World Cup matches. So I don't think it's that. There's a lot of nuance to what's going on with Gio Reyna and the injuries that he's sustained over the last year plus that he's been battling to get back to full fitness and full health. So looking at that, I still feel like we haven't gotten the most out of Brendan Aaronson in the role that he's playing as a super sub. I liked him as a super sub. I still continue to think he leaves me with more to be desired when he's on the field in terms of his impact. He comes into these games, and they're World Cup games. They're chaos, right? Mm-hmm. He's putting in the shift. He's got the energy. He's doing those things. But there's not really that moment for him to shine. And those shining moments are like when the team's collectively pressing, winning the ball up the field, creating that energy to go forward. Right now, he's bringing us that spark off the bench energy to close out games, which I don't love. But I think he's a better option than anything else we have out there, aside from Gio Reyna, who's, I don't think, is the guy you put on to put in a defensive shift to close out games.
No. Gio Reyna would have brought on if we needed a goal late on. But in terms of bringing Gio Reyna on to defend, that's, you're not bringing him on to defend. But I do like him in a matchup versus the Netherlands, because the Netherlands, the way that they play, there's a lot of space for those attacking players, because the Netherlands like to keep possession. There's a lot of east-west and not so much north-south. They're not very direct. They like to play with the ball. And in transition, you can hurt the Netherlands. And Van Dijk and Ake as two of the back three, they are big defenders and not great when it comes to playing tricky players. Players who can play 1-2s and good on the ball. When games are predictable and you're trying to play in behind them, they're good at covering. But in terms of playing 1-2s and following runners out of midfield, that's when Reyna is going to be a real asset to us in this game. And I fully expect Gio Reyna to come in as a substitute and get plenty of time against Holland, which would be massive. But in terms of this group right now, they got to be buzzing. They have to be absolutely buzzing, because Netherlands are ripe for the picking. This is a game where we can come in and shock them.
Yep. I fully agree. And the Gio Reyna one, you know, it's easy to keep saying the next game. But people don't realize that you're talking about a month of time that he's been in the trenches of getting physical work, of getting back to the level that they want him to. There is nobody's questioning how good Gio Reyna is, or how can he help this national team, or can he be impactful? Can he be the X factor in getting us a result against the Netherlands? We're talking about his ability to go out and play free and do the job that's asked of him, but also play the way that you know that he's capable of playing. that's a lot of things to put in to put together, especially with somebody who clearly they're working through some issues. Now, Greg Berhalter, Chuck Wagon, went with an all Euro lineup, which you know, the Twitter sphere rejoiced because we eliminated all Major League Soccer players until the tweets started coming out of saying Matt Turner came from MLS, you know, Tyler Adams came from MLS, Weston McKennie came from MLS. You know, across the board, starting to look at it and through the context of that, Timo Weah came from MLS.
I don't think Weston really counts for that.
Why doesn't Weston count?
How many games did he play for FC Dallas?
It's not about MLS. It's not about first team minutes.
I'm talking about MLS academies. Playing in MLS. Like, probably, probably can't count.
Timo Weah doesn't count.
No.
You know, then you're really talking about Tyler Adams, right? And Matt Turner.
Yes. Two very important pieces.
Yeah,
We're not even in the World Cup without MLS players. So that the point that people are making about MLS, like, okay, we get it. But let's not forget most of these players, they are coming together right now to represent our country and perform in a way that makes us proud. They're doing that. Let's be positive. Like I said, after the last game, come into this Iran game and expect for them to perform. And they did. And I see people saying, well, how are we going to beat Holland if we didn't score a goal? We can't score goals. We scored goals. What do you mean? We scored a goal to beat Iran. We scored a goal to beat against Wales when we were unfortunately gave up a penalty. But ultimately, we can score goals. And we need to be sound defensively. And Holland opened themselves up. Yeah. Holland are gonna leave us gaps. They're gonna give us opportunities. Now it's on us to finish those chances. But if we continue to keep clean sheets, I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen to this. We've got a lot of people upset about us being rejoicing on the U.S. beating Iran
not?
In the way that we did. What people don't realize, and I hope they do. But when you watch another game in the World Cup, when you watch Ecuador play today against Senegal, when you watch the other matches taking place, the rest of these final match day group stage matches, if you think most of these teams that are on the verge of in or out, Ecuador as an example, are not suffering, are not playing ugly, are not scrapping, are not stressed, if you think that there's anybody that is just playing somebody off the pitch, and sending them home when there's something on the line, you are out of your mind. Watch the games. Mm-hmm. Watch the games. The U.S. actually, I think, kept it together better than a lot of teams that were just trying to hold on for dear life or trying to get in to the knockout rounds by squeaking something out in the end. Like, I'm actually proud of the way that they did because guess what? Against Holland, if Holland is losing 1-0 to the U.S. in the final 30 minutes, they are going to do anything as ugly as they can to get a result. If the U.S. are down, they're going to go after Holland. You know who's going to play ugly? Holland are. It's not going to be beautiful. They're not going to just work the ball around and just go, yeah, easy 1-0. This is a World Cup. This is not one game of a 38-game season. This is a big deal. And people are going to say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't care about the style of play. I don't care about those things. We are going to scrap and fight and grind out this result. And the U.S. did that. At a certain point, we've got to give them some credit for that. I would love for them to play everybody off the pitch. I would love for them to do what England did to Wales today like that and just comfortably work through it with players off their bench starting in this game with Phil Foden coming into the match. I would love to see that. But right now, they achieved their first goal was get to the knockout round. They did that. And we shouldn't be critical about how they did that. Can things be better? Absolutely. But it doesn't matter how good we play. We can always find things to be better.
Spot on, Heath. Well said. Well said. We got through. People doubted this whole damn time. And you know, it's natural for people to always say, it's not good enough. We're not doing this. You know, Berhalter's not doing this. We got to a World Cup. We're out of the group stage. We're into the knockout rounds. Anything's possible now. Let's go. Get behind this team.
What more do you need to say,
man, I'm a believer. Let's go. These guys are putting in a performance. Like, come on, boy. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, again, we've got to rally around this team. Of course, the last 30 minutes were stressful. Could the team have been better? For sure. Was I screaming at Yunus Musa when he was causing fouls down by the 18 or he looked tired? For sure. I was screaming like everybody was. When Anthony Robinson keeps running into the sideline, I get really pissed off about that sort of stuff. But in the grander context of things, if that's what we're focusing on and we leave with that point, I would love for Iran to chase us around the field. You're talking about a nation in turmoil. You don't think they were going to make it difficult for us to grind out that result? Of course they were. And you talk about, you know, the stress and the fight or whatever and Greg Berhalter. Greg Berhalter can't do anything in the last 10 minutes or 20 minutes of these games. He can make substitutions to come on and bring energy, but that's on the players to hold the ball. That's on Haji Wright to decide to go to the corner flag instead of taking a shot. That's on Timothy Weah to turn, play the ball the other way, or Yunus Musa not to give up a foul in the box near the box that gave up a chance. That's on the players. That's not on anybody else. And there is a game. There's a little bit of luck that comes with that. And then there's a lot of fight and effort and preparation that comes with that as well. The U.S. deserved to beat Iran, and they beat Iran. And it doesn't matter how they did it; they're now in the knockout rounds. I mean, I'm bewildered at what point people are going to be excited or proud. Okay, maybe not excited in the way we play, but just proud.
No, but proud. let's say England for the England match. We should be proud of the way we played. We were the better team. We didn't finish our chance, and the one golden chance was Weston McKennie's, and Christian Pulisic was a half chance that he created on his own to hit the crossbar. But we should be proud. I felt so proud of this damn team because they competed with the best team in the group, one of the favorites for the World Cup. Considering all the players that they have, the talent, the experience, we were the better team over 90 minutes. But yeah. I love the fact that we can critique. We're not saying you can't analyze and critique. What we're saying is
two shutouts in the group stages. Two shutouts in the group stages. Unbeaten in the group stages. Look at these details. Unbeaten in the group stages. Two shutouts in the group stages for the first time ever. Yes, it is not the most beautiful things, but there are times that it is beautiful. And there are times that we're playing well. Am I critical of Shaq Moore coming in over the other options that we brought for the 19 right backs? For sure. Do I think he's the right guy to come into those matches? I think he's proven that he's not, and not there yet. I think you can go with somebody else. Do I think Haji Wright did his job in the way that I hoped that he would when he came on? Absolutely not. Those are things you can put on Greg Berhalter, for sure. But in the way that this team plays and this way that this team's fighting, at a certain point, we got to give some credit, too. I mean, these numbers are pretty incredible, and it's an exciting time. So I know it's not the overwhelming sentiment of everybody in the chat right now, but I do want people to have some perspective that when we drew and blamed it all on Walker Zimmerman because he made a huge mistake against Wales, and we were talking about fire Berhalter, MLS players, this team's going to go out, blah, 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 blah. It's 2026. Let's focus on that. You know who's doing that right now? Canada. You know who's doing that right now? Ecuador. They're talking about 2026 because they had a chance to go through and they are out. Because Canada played really well, dominated Belgium, didn't get the result. They are out. They're talking about proud to be in the World Cup for the first time. Alphonso Davies scoring Canada's first ever goal. That's amazing for them. And that could have been us. And we could have been focusing on that. But now we're focusing on Holland. And that's something that we should be extremely proud of. And yes, details do matter. They're going to get better. But Charlie, sorry, I'm on a little bit of a...
You were Bob Bradley right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Details do matter. That was
They do matter. I'm not going to sit and say that there weren't things that drove me nuts throughout the game. I was pacing back and forth. When they put 9 minutes on the board, I was like, we don't have it. We're going to tie this game. We're going home. Because this team does not have 9 minutes. Yunus Musa had minus 9 minutes in the 80th minute. And he grinded that out. We fought.
I would say the only thing that's really hurt me, I wouldn't say hurt me, but has taken away is the substitutions for me have not been good.
Shaq Moore, someone's got to answer those questions.
Jordan Morris coming in against Wales. Shaq Moore giving up fouls, giving away possession. Nothing speaks defense to me and shoring up the back line. For me, those tactical decisions with substitutions have not been good. That's the one negative. That is the one negative throughout this whole group stage. Starters, phenomenal. The starters who have come to play, they've done it. Substitutions tactical changes have not been good. So given that, we're doing the damn thing. Let's go. We're into the next round. Substitutions and tactics adjustments in the game have not been good. So for me, that's the one negative among the massive positive. And I'm still happy. We're going to the next round. Let's go. But against Holland, you can't continue to make poor substitutions and poor tactical adjustments in a game and keep and think you're going to move on, because that's not going to happen. So we've gotten away with it to this point. It's not going to happen anymore, considering you're playing against the Netherlands in the knockout round. Those tactical adjustments have to be on point from here on out.
Look, that's I liked Walker Zimmerman coming in for a back five to close it out. I liked Kellen Acosta coming in to bring some energy to that midfield
Shaq
that
Moore,
I thought had been
Haji Wright.
Shaq Moore, Haji Wright. No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm saying a couple of those circumstantially made sense for me, mm-hmm. right? Walker Zimmerman won 90% of the balls to close out that game in the air to deny that. I thought that was a good substitution. I thought it made sense. Put the big guy in the middle of the thing, even though he missed a couple of those headers in the end that caused that chaos. But by and large, was doing well in that situation. Kellen Acosta covering a lot of ground, being the guy that we know he's going to be. He's not going to give you a ton of upside going forward, but circumstantially, it made sense. But the Shaq Moore and the Haji Wright made sense to me when it happened. But when I look back at the performance, I was like, man, you got to do more.
So in saying that, who goes into that position? In that time, I thought you put Timothy Weah there and you just play him into the channel and let him waste time. No need to hold the ball up there. Just play in the channel, let him run onto it. Iran are throwing numbers forward. That space is wide open. And bring in a more defensive player. Bring in somebody, whether it's Yedlin, whether it's – because Shaq Moore is definitely not the player you're bringing in, I think, from here on out. He just looks unshaken.
He just looks a little nervous. He looks a little nervous. Yeah, he's second-guessing himself. Flick on the long cross, the short pass to nobody, the fouls. Like, those kinds of things are like, you know what it's like when you've given that bad turnover in a game and then all of a sudden that lactic acid just drenches your body, that adrenaline kicks
oh,
in.
Oh, boy, do
and
I you know go that like, lactic
man,
acid.
Am I running up a hill right now? Because I just got in this game. And so, yeah, that's the reality.
Yeah, 100%. But I think we're on to something here. We got out of the group. That was the main goal. The second goal, can we play well? Can we be proud of these performances? Hell to the yeah. I still think the England performance from minute one to 90 was probably the most encouraging, just because we know what England are, who they are, and the players they possess. Greg Berhalter actually outcoached Gareth Southgate, which is crazy. Gareth Southgate didn't make the right tactical changes. You watch today, Phil Foden and Marcus Rashford, had they played, might have been different. Like, those
Rashford
are real
brace,
players.
Foden with the goal.
So Gareth Southgate is the one who folded under the pressure. Now, in this game, yes, we got the goal. The first half looked good. We controlled the tempo. In the second half, I think we let it slip away, and we defended too early on. If you have to defend like that and you're going to switch the tactics, let it be the last 5 minutes. Yeah. But ultimately, we're going through. And in the next game, I'd like to see a little bit more of Gio Reyna. I think he's probably had a little bit more time to get up to the point where we need him to be. And he's going to need to be massive, because this is a game where possession matters. The ball at your feet matters. Being organized matters. They're not going to really hurt you with balls in behind. But it's Cody Gakpo is a problem. And so being able to follow him and make sure you have cover, because those are the players that play with the ball at their feet. They like the tricks. They like the movement. So let's go. I'm hyped.
Yeah. Let's get into our final thoughts, Charlie. Yeah. One thing before I get to my final thought was that I do wish the U.S. would have pushed for a second goal. Mm-hmm. I think that as soon as we got that one, it felt very similar at times to Wales, where – less comparable to the way in which we played against Wales when we went up, but more so just like, let's not be afraid to take that risk when the time is right to get that second goal, because that could change everything. And obviously, I'm preaching to the choir. That's just almost a stupid thing for me to say. Of like, two goals is a lot easier to defend than one. But I do think that knowing when those moments are to take those risks are a huge important thing. But my final thought for tonight was, a big shout out to the Iranian national team. I thought the game, the competition, the class, the gamesmanship of both of these teams blocked everything else out for the entire game from start to finish.
Well said.
And it was about this game, and it was about two teams trying to get to the knockout rounds, each with their own mission to get there. Obviously, it's easy to say because the U.S. has gone through. But both teams fought to the end. Iran had their chances to tie it up, and that would have pushed them through. Similarly to what we saw in the Ecuador game where they tied it up and then they went down again. I mean, these are battles. These are people's lifelong dreams being played out over 90 minutes to continue that dream. So I just want to give them a shout out and all the people that supported, because I heard that I could only hear it over the TV here, but that stadium was rocking on both sides.
Rocking. Shout out to everybody watching the game. Shout out to everybody who's here watching the show live, YouTube comment section. My mom and dad, I know they're on here watching. So thank you. Let's go. USA right here. Let's go.
I like that. And listen, and as a reminder, if you haven't already, go ahead and go check our brother podcast out, House of Champions. They're doing a daily podcast throughout the World Cup. And it is a daily podcast, but they're doing it daily as well throughout the World Cup with some incredible guests. I was actually just on there yesterday with a Champions League winner in Lucho Garcia. So that was a lot of fun, and Michael Hood as well. So go and check that one out. And of course, as a reminder, we're going to be coming to you guys live for our preview. Charlie, I mean, scheduling wise, we haven't even got to it because we got to get one thing at a time, you know.
Yes.
We can't schedule the vacation because we don't know what the schedule is going to be, but the U.S. is going through to the round of 16. We're super excited Crazy. About it. We're going to bring you guys an official preview, hopefully with myself, Charlie Davies, and Jimmy Conrad. And until next time, shout out to Charlie, shout out to Jimmy, shout out to our producers, shout out to all of you guys that join us each and every episode. We appreciate all of you. You guys make this thing what it is. You guys make this fun. We yes. love all of your feedback, and we can't wait to keep this thing going. But until next time, we will see you guys later.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.